Welcome to another edition of the Healthy Alabama Podcast, sponsored by Enroll Alabama and produced in partnership with WJOU-FM here in Huntsville, Alabama, on the beautiful campus of Oakwood University. I'm David Person, and I am very, very excited about having a longtime friend on the podcast who herself has created some interesting spaces in the media as an entrepreneur, as a writer, an author, and now as a satellite radio host, and she's a naturopathic doctor. Her name is Dr. LaJoyce Brookshire, and her satellite radio show on Sirius XM is titled Ask the Good Doctor. Dr. LaJoyce Brookshire. LaJoyce, thank you for joining us on the Healthy Alabama Podcast.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It took me a while to introduce you because, you know, you've got so many things, LaJoyce, that you've done. I mean.
I was laughing. Thank you. Did you tell them how we know one another?
No, I did not. Why don't you tell them? Why don't you tell them?
I won't steal your thunder, please.
Well, I got to tell you that several years ago, this was way before podcasting, somehow I learned about LaJoyce's story, an amazing story. LaJoyce, and I'll try to keep it short, LaJoyce. LaJoyce was married to a man who had AIDS. She didn't know it. And she only discovered it as he was dying. And the story is much more complicated than that. There was some deception and real dysfunction in the man's family that even put LaJoyce in this very vulnerable position. She wrote a book about it. I interviewed her on this other radio show. That's how LaJoyce and I got to know each other. And we have commonalities in that we both grew up in Chicago, have connections to the city of Chicago, and connections to the music business as well as the media business. And so we really bonded over those connections. And I've been able to watch LaJoyce's journey through this amazing experience where even though her husband died of AIDS, LaJoyce never got infected with AIDS.
Hallelujah.
And then she has evolved herself into a person who not only is a survivor of that experience, but who is now a naturopathic doctor. And I just think it's an amazing journey.
Well, thank you, sir. And you hit everything on the nail on the head. Absolutely. Thank you.
Awesome. So I want us to get into what you're doing currently and most prominently these days, and that's naturopathic medicine. Why don't we start by explaining to folks who may not know what a naturopathic doctor is?
A naturopath will treat you with everything that is in nature using absolutely no medicine. We use God's pharmacy, things from the earth, things from the household to help to keep you well. Not only that, a naturopathic doctor will get to the root cause of a problem and go for the least invasive way to solve the issue. So that is what we do in a nutshell. It is what I do and have been doing for the last 16 years. Although I have been living a holistic lifestyle since I was a senior in high school, Dave, at Kenwood Academy. And my friend, one of my classmates, Cindy Rogers, gave a persuasive speech in our honors English class about why you should become a vegetarian. And she had the documents and the diagrams to follow the food from the time you eat it to the time you eliminate it. And I was so persuaded that I went to the lunchroom and ordered a grilled cheese sandwich on rye bread and went home that night and told my mommy, I'm never eating meat again. And my mommy said, help yourself. There's some salad in the refrigerator. And that was the beginning of my journey. I was a senior then. And by the time, and then I went to work at GNC. And during back then, those times in 1979, 1980, GNC was like our Whole Foods of today. Mm-hmm. And I worked in the GNC at Evergreen Plaza, Dave.
Yeah, south side of Chicago.
And that GNC, we made sandwiches, we juiced juices, squeezed peanut butter. It was a grocery store. They've downsized it and streamlined it to what you see today. But GNC was pretty much one of the only places, only chain where you could get fresh food. That was my my fast education in holistic living and alternative therapies. And I learned all about supplements. By the time I went to Eastern Illinois University, shout out to Eastern. By the time I went there, I had boxes of supplements and all kinds of teas and all kinds of herbs. And I became known as the girl on campus that if you did not feel well, I would whip you up something probably that tasted really nasty. But by morning, you would feel better. You could take your test. You could go on the road with your track team or your football team, but you wouldn't have to go to health service and you would feel better. And so I should have charged for that. Yeah.
Right.
And I've always been the village healer, dishing out advice about health. And what happened to me in my freshman year was that my vegetarian lifestyle didn't work out so well because I was not really good at replacing my proteins, and my hair started falling out by the handfuls. And so I had made a lifestyle change enough to know that I wasn't going back to pork. I wasn't going back to beef, and I wasn't going back to refined sugars and all that jazz. So I modified by eating chicken and fish and turkey. And that is where I still am today. Today, though, I make more of a concerted effort of having my plate be more green. The majority of my plate is green, and anything that I have in addition to the greens, I put it on top of my greens. So I have a raw salad on my plate all of the time. And even if I'm eating something else that's hot, I put it on top of my greens because I like the combo of the cold crunch with the hot food. It's a texture heat thing, sensory thing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm still getting more vegetables on my plate, but I do still eat meat proteins. I only eat wild caught fish and organic chicken and wild turkey.
So you have moved from being a vegetarian to being, I guess, what some people would call almost a pescatarian.
A pescatarian eats only fish. And actually, I just came off of a 30-day detox where I did just fish. And then at the top of the year, I do raw food only for 21 days. Mm. So there are three or four times a year, that one time a year in January for 21 days, I go all raw. And then at the change of every season when I deworm, I do only vegetables for 21 days. So four times a year, I'm completely vegetarian. Mm-hmm. And then the other times, that is how I eat. Yes.
You have been on this journey for a number of years. And I don't know, do you feel comfortable sharing your age, how long you've been on this journey?
Oh, I don't have any problem with it because, see, I don't look 55. So right. I don't have a problem saying I'm 55.
I was going to say, you don't look, I mean, to me, you know, the last photo I saw of you, which is the one connected to your satellite radio show, I was looking at you thinking, I don't know how old she is, just based on looking at that photo, you know.
I am 55 and with a straight face. I don't have any problem telling you. So here's what I always have to say about that day. I say that, you know, and I go through great lengths to ensure that my immune system is strong and my alkalinity is solid. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's how you maintain a healthy body. I wake up every morning early. I go to bed early. And I exercise daily. I get fresh air. I walk every day. I do a lot of things. I drink water is my primary beverage. I make sure that I am doing things to live a healthy life. And I have a 15-year-old daughter. I started late. What was I thinking? But I have to be able to, you know, I have to be able to keep up with my child and her friends. And we're a dance family. And so I'm dance mom, my husband's dance dad, and we're driving children around to rehearsals and shows, and, you know, we have to be current in what they say. So I said all that to say that the minute I start looking my age, I'm not going to do any more of it, you know, because what the heck, you know, like my daughter would say, what the heck? So I like my daughter would say, low key, I absolutely positively live that lifestyle to ensure I don't look my age. But I mean, that's not my only concern. All of my numbers, I have numbers of a 20-year-old. Hmm. My heart, my resting heart rate, my recovery weight, my blood pressure, all of those numbers, people, when they take my blood pressure, they take my blood pressure twice, cannot believe how low it is compared to how old I am. Mm. But just how low it is, period. I have low blood pressure. And when I'm sleeping, my body is healing itself during the hours. And that's very important. People say, well, I take naps during the day, or I get good rest during the day. No, the sun replenishes and the moon restores. So nighttime sleep is restoration sleep, and you have to be in bed by 10 o'clock to get that done. And so when people like you who've known me a long time and people from high school go, gosh, how do you still look the same from high school? And then other my really good friends who know me say, she still goes to bed at 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And I do.
There is so much that you have dropped on us that I want to try to unpack in the time that we have. So let me start. Let me start by asking you just a couple things. One, so I know a lot of people talk about, you know, the alkaline versus the acidic. What is your philosophy on that?
My philosophy is this: an acidic body is the introduction of any disease. Disease can only flourish when the body contains acid. When your body is alkaline and looking like the Garden of Eden, and it's flourishing and it's green, it combats everything that is negative. For instance, look at alkalinity as putting fire out. Look at acidity as being the fire.
Okay. So how does one create an alkaline body?
An alkaline body is created by eating green foods, by eating vegetables, all other vegetables as well, and additionally, and eating fruit. An alkaline body is created by avoiding refined sugars, high fructose corn syrup, drinking water, avoiding caffeine, even in the form of green tea and white tea and black tea. Mm-hmm. Because people think that caffeine just comes from chocolate and from coffee, and that's not true. Caffeine is also in some tea, in a lot of teas, and especially in black, green, and white. So that's how you can avoid it. Also, an acidic body comes with a body that's being overstressed, with the adrenal system being blown out. And that's one of our very valuable hormones. Our adrenal system produces the fight or flight. And once we blow out our adrenal systems, the body becomes acidic. When we're taxed emotionally and stressed continuously without a break, that is very detrimental to our health and creates an acidic environment.
And when you say stress, are you talking about physical stress, emotional stress, or both?
Both, especially emotional stress. Additionally, the naturopath deals with the mind, body, and spirit, because you cannot address one without addressing the other two. It just does not work. And so, for instance, you know, you have to be able to, we have to be willing as a naturopath to invest in the person in front of us, to be able to walk alongside of them in their emotional pain, because emotional pain has a great deal with how people are engaging in their lifestyle, and their lifestyle are the things that lead up to whether or not they're living well or they're headed toward disease or cancer profile.
This is new information for some people, and I imagine that they will have to spend some time thinking about it, perhaps even doing some of their own research. Where do you suggest they start?
I would suggest that you start intuitively listening to your signals. For instance, there are certain foods that irritate us when we eat them, even me. So guess what? I don't eat them. Milk chocolate gives me a hot flash. If your body is fortified with calcium and minerals, you will not feel the effects of menopause. But milk chocolate steals that from me, and it makes me feel the effect of menopause. So I don't go touch that with a 10-foot pole because I hate that feeling. So I empathize with all you ladies. So examine what you are eating. Some people know that they eat things that are so sweet, their vision is blurry after they eat it. For me, that trigger is agave nectar. And while a lot of people are eating agave and using agave to bake and to in their tea as a sugar substitute, it is so incredibly sweet. It makes my vision blurry. So I don't eat agave. And so some people eat things that make their stomachs hurt. Don't eat it. Why in the world do you put yourselves in that position? That would be the first thing that I would say to do. The second thing that I would say to do would be to get educated. Get educated about healthy food. Even your doctor, the food chart, the food pyramid, even though to me it's a little off scale, there should be more fruits and vegetables instead of grains and starches. Period. And I think that the food pyramid looks the way it does because grains and starches are fillers, but fruits and vegetables can be fillers also. And it's a healthier alternative. Because at the end of the day, grains and starches turn to sugar.
Now, when you say starches, you're talking about what?
Bread, rice, white rice, potatoes, starches.
When we were growing up, we thought about rice, at least I did. I thought rice and potatoes were part of the vegetable food group, but they were really not.
They're really not. Well, potato is a part of the vegetable school food group, but it is a starchy vegetable. As is corn, as are peas. They're starchy vegetables. Okay. But rice is not a part of the vegetable group. It is not.
Doesn't mean it's necessarily bad, but it's just not good and if it's out of balance.
That's true. If your body is completely to the end of the spectrum, though, where it is acidic. So, for instance, let's just say the person who has cancer. The person who has cancer should never touch white rice. The person who has cancer should never touch a white potato. I am sorry about my dog.
It's okay.
And he is a Rottweiler and on his job.
That's right. It's what happens. So
I am, that's where I suggest people start. And I would say that when you say imbalance, if you have a sickness that is terminal, then if you want to change that trajectory, which you can, because here's something, Dave, there's no such thing as an incurable disease. There is no such thing as an incurable disease. I'd like for all of you to hear me on that. All you have to do, honestly, is stop doing what you're doing and turn around, walk in the other direction. If you leave what you've been doing alone and do the other alternative, immediately the numbers will change. Immediately.
There is so much value in what you're saying. I hope we'll be able to have you back on at some point before our season ends. Before we run out of time, though, I want to get to just a couple of other things. And one of them is, I think, the big elephant in the room, which is that a lot of what you're talking about, nobody ever hears, even to this day, nobody ever hears from their general practitioner doctor or their internal medicine doctor. Why is that?
I don't fault them for not speaking on the things that I'm speaking to. I can't speak to the things they speak to because that's how they've been trained. I've been trained in this way. I would be mad at them if they knew what I knew, but they don't know what I know. So I am just looking for something different. This is why we have to take an integrative approach. Also, Dave, I am a hospice chaplain these days. And I have also, in my chaplain work, I have worked in a level one trauma center. As a naturopath, I don't get to be a naturopath as I do my chaplain work all of the time. But all of the time as a naturopath, I get to be a chaplain. But sometimes they may cross. For instance, in the trauma room, a gentleman not even 40, came in with an MI alert. That's a myocardial infarction, which really means a heart attack. And so the chaplain's role in the trauma bay is to play detective, put people with their families, marry them up. So I go into the gentleman's phone to look for his sister's number at his request. And the last number he called was Pizza Hut. Hear me now. So I show it to the doctor. And the doctor says, dude, funny story here. Dude, what kind of pizza did you have? He said, oh, triple meat lovers, triple cheese. And I say, what size? He says, extra large, of course. I say, did you eat it all? He said, yes, every drop. And the doctor said, and that's why you're here with us having a heart attack. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I said that to say that binge eating within 24 to 26 hours of a meal where you overate can bring on a heart attack. So had I not gone into that gentleman's phone and using what I know in naturopathy, Pizza Hut trigger, probably he binged trigger, showed it to the doctor. Now the doctor knows to ask the question, but the doctor doesn't ask it right away. What did you eat? Did you eat a big meal? Did you eat a celebratory meal? A lot of times that has a lot to do with it. A lot of people who come in have had some kind of celebration. We were just at the so-and-so and we were all having a good time.
You're also an ordained minister. So what role does religion play in what you do? And do you believe that it is essential for a person to be a religious person in order to be a healthy person?
Well, religion is very important because what they do, though, even when they're sick, is they resolve things as they come to death. And that is the role of the hospice chaplain, to come alongside of the person, to walk with them and to help them ready themselves for death. And that is closing a lot of doors, closing things that may be open, helping to facilitate conversations. So then that is then very fruitful for them leading up to death and fruitful for the family. People have spirituality, even if they have no spirituality. That's their level of spirituality. Mm. And we are able also to engage with the person who admits they have no spirituality. And what does that look like for you? How does that feel for you walking in what you're walking into? And then people want to, I see, hold on to somebody who's God's representative, but they don't want to do it themselves. So a lot of people are stubborn, even in the final days, because look at where I am. Look at me sick. What God would do this and take me away from my family and all of these things. But they will hold on to the person who's God's representative or the person who has the belief, because that is their thing they hold on to. So you want to claim you don't have belief, but you want to hold on to someone who does. Okay, I'll stand with that too.
LaJoyce Brookshire is a hospice chaplain. She's a naturopathic doctor. She's an author. She's the host of the SiriusXM satellite radio show, Ask the Good Doctor, and she's my longtime friend from Chicago. I got to tell you, when you talked about GNC in Evergreen Plaza there on the southwest side of Chicago, I thought about that. And, you know, my mom and I used to go to that store.
Wow.
So there's the possibility that you and I crossed paths even as young people and didn't even realize it. You
know? Absolutely. Absolutely. And if it's okay, I'd like to invite your audience.
Yes.
To listen to Ask the Good Doctor on Sundays on SiriusXM Channel 126 Urban View, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, you know, Sirius is always offering a 30-day free trial. And you can listen to it on your computer. You can download the app onto your phone, or you can get it in your car for 30 days for free. Do that. And guess what? You can hear a replay of any show anytime. I think that's an awesome feature.
Yeah.
And people can reach out to me. You can always do the old-fashioned thing and send me an email. Actually, I love email. I will check that before I check anything else, full disclosure. And that, my email address is askthegooddoctor@msn.com. Spell out doctor. My website is askthegooddoctor.org. And you can reach me on Twitter at askthegooddoc and Facebook and Instagram at askthegooddoctor.
Very good. One final question before we go. And I think this may have been before We started the podcast, you and I were talking just privately, and I think you mentioned that you do something called Remix Recipes. Can you talk about that real quick?
Yes, I remix recipes that are family favorites into healthy versions. In fact, it was so necessary to do this that I wrote a cookbook called Yes, You Are What You Eat, Recipes to Enhance Your Wellness Journey. And I remix 103 family favorites, my family's favorites. And that book is available on my website at askthegooddoctor.org. Now, so what I do is I take a version of anything. For instance, I had somebody send me a note that said, how do I make my collard greens without fat back where they can still have some flavor? Well, I was so happy to get that question because I don't want my collard greens swimming in anything other than it's water and the seasoning. So instead of using fat back, I make a pot liquor with chopped rutabagas or chopped turnips, and then I boil them until they're fork tender. Then I scoop them out so that the water has the flavor of the rutabagas or the turnips. Then I add chopped onions, chopped garlic, garlic powder, garlic onions, and onions. And then I put some Louisiana one drop dozen hot sauce. Yes, I do, for a little kick. And I use a product called Veggie Sal. And Veggie Sal takes the place of seasoning salt in my cabinets. And it is dried onions, celery, green peppers, red peppers, yellow peppers, orange peppers, and garlic. And it really is salty because when you put those things together, they're organic sodium. And so I use that, and then I put my collard greens in there. And when they come to a rolling boil, I turn it off. I don't like mushy, soggy, cook them for 5 hour collard greens. You cooked all the nutrients out of them. And then I leave them on the stove overnight and put 2 tablespoons of olive oil in them. I'm telling you, my friends call my collard greens the mean greens.
The mean greens. All right.
Mean greens.
All right. I like that. The mean greens. I take that to mean that those are the greens you just got to have.
Got to have.
Gots to have those greens. Pot liquor. Haven't heard that term in years. Well, I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Dr. LaJoyce Brookshire, naturopath, hospice chaplain, and at least based on what she shared with us, the queen of meatless soul food greens. The Healthy Alabama Podcast is sponsored by Enroll Alabama and produced in partnership with Oakwood University Radio, Praise 90.1 FM, WJOU. Our theme music was produced by DJ Bailey. You can stream the podcast at WJOU.org or on Stitcher, iTunes, or Google Play. I'm David Person. Until next time, be healthy.
The Healthy Alabama Podcast is sponsored by Enroll Alabama, a program that enrolls Alabamians in the health insurance marketplace. Navigators provide free local in-person support to all applicants. Enroll Alabama, 256-432-7494, 256-432-7494.